did that video go?
Call this meeting to order of the Design and Review Board, October 3rd, 2018 at 5:30 p.m. here at the Cochise County Board of Supervisors hearing room. Roll call. Peter's not here right now. Mr. Green has been excused. Todd?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
I'm here. John?
Present.
And John Crow is also excused. He couldn't make it tonight. And Frank?
Yes, here.
And he's here. Okay. Like to inform everybody that all the items on this DRB agenda will require a building permit or a sign permit. That all design and review board approval, that design and review board approval does not necessarily reflect the views and policies of the State Historic Preservation Office, which controls decisions impacting tax status of designated contributing historic properties. Please review SHPO's policies and, if necessary, contact them directly before making any exterior changes to your property. That would be considered for your tax privileges. We'll have call of the public. I see everyone signed up for an agenda item except one. Doris, is it? Yes. Would you like to speak?
Well,
or do you have an item that's on the agenda?
No, it's demolishing of 805 Tombstone Canyon. Got a call from the owner today, and they said, if you have a chance, please go to the meeting and let them know that we are in full support of demolishing that building. And it is a health hazard, and I take care of the little building next door, and we've had rats.
Okay.
Rabbits,
so,
mice.
Well, I'll call for you again on item three if you want to speak to this. That's item three.
Okay.
If you want to stay or if you just want to speak, call the public, then we'll go from there. Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak before the board that's on an item that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, move forward. DRB application, which is on the agenda number one, has been pulled. It will not be considered tonight. So we'll move on to DRB application number two, which is 18-56.
And you guys label that Wilson's house? Number one instead of pulling it?
And
that way it won't have to be re-advertised?
Oh, yes. I thought just by pulling it. Go back, DRB application 18.57. The applicant has asked that we table this until a future meeting. Could I have a motion to that?
I motion that we table this to a future as yet to be determined meeting.
Second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All right, thank you. DRB application number two, which is 18-56, is a Bisbee Commercial Historic District, 29 Main Street. And we have Mr. Vint to speak to that. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Bob Vint, architect out of Tucson, representing Mr. Will Nathan, who is the owner of 29 Main Street. And I believe you all have the packet, which is illustrating the proposed second means of egress that we're developing, which will be required as part of the renovation of the interior. Currently, there's one exit stair on the northeast corner, and we're proposing to develop another one on the southwest corner. This image indicates the precedent that we'd like to base our exit door on. With the exit door, we believe, should be a riveted steel coated solid core door. And so it'd basically be de-emphasized, sort of a industrial-looking door. We don't want people thinking it's an entrance to one of the store fronts, and we're therefore basing it on something that's on the building. It happens to be on the north side of the building at the loading dock. Again, to de-emphasize that and just have it be a service-type door. Recessed back, if you look in the floor plan, see, is that the next image, Paul? Oh, no, actually, now we're jumping around a little bit because there's two parts to this proposal. One is the door, and the other is a new sign to be located in that band of metal. That steel plate. And doing a little historical digging, we turned up some images of the original sign. And of course, it's no longer a Woolworth's, hence we do not propose to put Woolworth there. The name of Mr. Nathan's business is Object Limited. And so we propose to install a sign with the same font as the old Woolworth, but spelling out the name of the new business. The letters would be nickel-plated or zinc-plated, raised sheet metal, and they're mounted to the existing steel frieze. We're well within the allowable area for our sign based on our street frontage. So that's the sign. That's one issue. And that was an image of how the letters would be raised sheet metal letters. And there's an image of how it would fit into that frieze.
Is there a color to those?
We're thinking just sort of a zinc or nickel, so they're sort of a silver on black. I know the original was a bright red with gold letters, red and gold. It seems a little, so we're doing a somewhat more subtle reinterpretation of the original sign. Plus, all the original photos we looked at were black and white.
Right, so we didn't actually know it was red until a recent photo came of the parade.
That's right, probably the 4th of July parade. Yeah.
It was 1956 that was made.
Wow. Really. Some people thought it was in Douglas.
I know, that was the big argument.
And Facebook.
You can see it actually here, but mm-hmm. It's not in color.
Yeah, so red and gold seemed inappropriate, so black and silver, calmer. So that's one of the aspects of this proposal. So then on the front of the building, the window wall, should we advance to that again, Paul? I'm sorry, I'm having you jump all around. There we go. So studying closely this window wall that's there, the upper part has actually been reglazed with a black anodized aluminum framing and modern plate glass. So that is not 1907 storefront. It's upgraded till 1970. So it's 40-something years old, not yet old enough to be considered historic, although it is part of the historic building. In the modification, we propose to stick with the same spacing of the existing window wall. So this, I'll point it out here. This joining mullion would stay. And we're proposing to remove that one plate of glass, have a recessed beveled doorway similar to the other ones. Take it back, it would have a glass return on it so people could see into this shop window. And the door would be set back so the door doesn't open into the sidewalk where it might bump into a pedestrian. And then that would be tied into a stair that goes up to the third floor and brings people down to the street level. As part of the renovation, we're planning to create that second means of egress. And so that is the essence of our proposal.
Go ahead. And just to clarify, is this being done to meet a fire code requirement or to exceed a fire code requirement?
To meet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we need two ways out of a building.
Okay.
Yeah. You've always got to have two ways. Yeah. And the distance between the exits needs to be at least half the diagonal dimension. So if you take half the diagonal is 103 feet. Half of that is 51 foot 6 inches. To go from the existing door, 51 foot 6 inches puts you in the building next door. So there's really no way to do two exits on the back. And plus, it wouldn't really be logical to exit people onto this street where there's no sidewalk, there's no, you're basically walking into Subway Street. So we're thinking that in terms of public safety and building code, this was the most logical and least invasive solution.
What are you going to do about the stairs that are open down to downstairs?
Well, we can preserve that stair. We're going to have to rebuild it because it doesn't meet code. It doesn't have headroom, and the run and rise is wrong. So we're going to rebuild that stair. The basement will be fire sprinkler, and we can have an opening. If the basement's fire sprinkler, you can have one intervening connection. It's like a mezzanine. The upper floors, we will eliminate the stair between the second and third floors because we want those to be separate floors, and then they will be accessed by the new egress stair. But for now, all we're talking about is the exterior of the building.
So this stairwell also encompasses the mezzanine as an exit.
That's right. Exactly. So you've got an exit to the northeast and an exit to the southwest.
So there's a number of how many people can be in the building right now, right?
Right, that's right.
And that's not going to change with the new stairway? It won't double?
Well, the thing with the building is that it has a ballroom on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And you could get, actually, based on the assembly area of 7 square feet per person, you could get close to 200 people in that. He's not using it for that now, obviously.
Yeah.
But you definitely need, if you have more than 50 people, you need 2 exits.
Okay. And then what is it that you're trying to accomplish? You don't want to have that many people up there? Are you trying to make it space? Or?
Well, no, the ballroom will remain a ballroom. Okay. But once we have the second stair, then the building can be used for that assembly function. Right now, he's got to keep it to under 50. You can have 49 people in the building. 50th person.
Oh, in the building total.
Yeah. Structure with 50 or more needs 2 means of egress.
And then there's like 3 apartments up there or something? 4 apartments?
There's some apartments, yes.
Yeah.
How many apartments?
Well, it depends how you define apartments. There's rooms.
Well, I've been in there before, but it's been a while, so I didn't remember how many there was.
It's like a dozen.
Roughly a dozen rooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these stairwells in the middle here, they're going away?
Actually, this stair is a proposed new stair from the existing ground floor to a proposed new mezzanine.
Oh, a new mezzanine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we're not proposing that yet. We're just talking about this exit.
Well, you're inside, we don't have any overview.
Yeah.
We use it for our decision to try to decide what's best to do with the outside. We have to make the best use inside, but we don't have any control over what you're actually doing inside.
So this idea is this mezzanine would be very similar to the one next door at Rocca.
Right.
Because this is a double height space. The existing retail is, it's 20 feet, 18 feet tall. So we can put in a mezzanine at half that. And so that's just a stair that runs up to the mezzanine. And then he gets additional retail exhibit space.
Thanks. Just one other clarification. You're also planning on repeating the transom design?
Yes.
The other entry doors?
That's correct.
Have to the commercial?
Yes, that's correct. There'll be a transom above, a steel plate door below, and a transom above.
And it will match?
It will match exactly what's next door. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then you were saying that the storefront itself is only 40 years old?
Maybe 45.
They changed it?
It was updated in the 70s because the original was probably falling apart.
Well, the original, part of it's in the basement. So the prior owner told me that he had saved some of the original frontage and put it in the basement.
Right.
That's interesting.
The picture I have from the 50s, it looks like it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but anyway, it's hard to tell from even with colored photos.
Mm.
I mean, I have, as you know, I contacted you and I had heartburn on changing storefronts. I'm very, very particular on what happens to the front of our main street. And I need some really good justifications to do so. I know we have to use best use. I've been a big advocate of creating space above our main streets for livable areas and usage. I know with fire code, it does create these types of situations. My only last question would be, you're going to have a very small little window about yay wide. This is going to be a 3-foot opening at least, right?
Yeah, it's a 3-foot door.
Okay. So you're going to have a little more than 3 feet. So I went over and measured it the other day. And so from the big big one to come back, you're going to have one very small little window this way. And then you're going to put a metal angle and then go back, right?
So yeah, actually the corner, that corner stays. And this is, I believe, 5.
Oh, so you're
going to
go on a degree?
You're going to go on an angle, yeah.
Okay.
And since this is an exit door from the inside out, you don't have to have that space next to it, for like a wheelchair to pull up next to it.
It's hardware only.
Yeah, it's a stair. It's a wheelchair person isn't going to go in there.
Well, what I'm struggling with on your final design is this. Let me show you. And maybe that will help somebody else here too. Is on your overall, this one?
Mm-hmm.
You can see this looks like a very small little So this is the big main, and you're
that's
gonna,
angled back. That's shooting
that's
back.
That's the angle back. Okay.
Actually, you know what? Paul, so, could you pull up the more recent drawing?
Sure.
I actually redid that drawing because I thought it wasn't reading very well.
It was not reading well.
Okay, so try this one. Now, the windows that are beveled are shaded differently than the windows that are flush.
Okay. Now I like it.
Okay.
I did not like that little tiny window.
Whoa.
I like it better.
Yeah, you know, I realized that, and I actually just emailed this drawing to Paul this morning.
Because I did not see a little narrow window like this and then have it go back. It was going to change.
In fact, you haven't even seen this drawing. That's a new drawing.
From that post that you're preserving, that then the wall angles from that point going to meet the fire.
Exactly, and it follows the same bevel as the historic entryways. So it's essentially a recreation of the bay window that exists already.
Got it, yeah. And these pictures, it doesn't read like
it that. It was a little flat, yeah, so.
Okay.
Is there some reason that you wouldn't want to do like doors that more match what's already there?
I think for the sake of not confusing people when they're coming to, say, the store, we don't want them to try to walk into the fire stair. You know what I'm saying? So we wanted to de-emphasize it, not make it look like an entrance that would invite people in. It looks like a service door. And in a lot of big cities, service happens off the street, right? Like they pull the truck up and they take stuff right in, or they open the sidewalk and they go down into the basement, right?
But it looks completely different than the face of the or than the other doors.
It does, and it because it serves a different function. The others are store doors, so they're full glass. And this is a fire exit door. I think also to maintain...
Would that be more subliminal? Like somebody would have to be like, oh, this is different.
It is different. The thing is also when you have a fire exit stair, you want to maintain the fire rating of that enclosure all the way down, and you couldn't have that much glass in a fire door anyway. Right, Joe?
You got it?
Yeah. What about
the transom? How are you going to protect that firewall?
The transom is a small limited area of glass, and we could probably even do, if we have to, we could do a... fire-resistant glass up there, which is more expensive. It's available. And it's a small area. I mean, the full store door is...
Oh, yeah, I realize. Yeah. I just... That's... glass transom will not be a fire-rated...
That's... it can be fire-rated. We can get fire-rated glass.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
it's like an inch thick. And we would like some light into that stairwell, I think. I'd like light in there. We actually haven't talked about this with the owner. Or it could maybe not be light. It could also be a steel panel, that matches the size of the transom.
But is there a clear reference of what this is going to look like? Because I'm not seeing one in the packet. I know...
Right there.
Yeah, I know. But
you mean the door?
Doesn't really do much good. So
the door.
There was an earlier photo. That, yeah, there we go.
This door, it would be the precedent. We're basically following the precedent for the delivery door on Subway Street, which is a riveted steel. It's kind of industrial in appearance. Mm-hmm. Now, we wouldn't have to paint it black necessarily, although the base for the sign is black, and we're going black and silver. It might be black and silver.
Well, the edges of the corners are also a dark black color. So
that's
it
right.
It feels like it would merge.
The existing window wall is black, so I think black would be fine. Again, we're trying to de-emphasize it.
And if I may add that my preference was not to put a door or to change the facade at all, and this is very much coming from safety and ability to use the space to its maximum potential.
Building code requirements.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's like on your other applications too, you don't really have the computer images so you can really see what the thing actually looks like. I think that's what Mr. Conklin said.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a scale drawing that is accurate. So it does show what it looks like. It's in that.
Leave lots of imagination on it.
Well, we could.
It helps to have an imagination.
Right, but it also could be that that's something you stipulated. Right, that you stipulated or that was stipulated.
I'm picking up what he's throwing down.
Okay.
I guess since it's changed in the last 40 years, I'm going to go easy on you. I was just thinking, like, as an architect, you probably would want to respect other people's work and their buildings, especially if they're standing 100 years later, but you're saying that it's been modified in the last 40, 45 years, so that kind of changes my view on it a little bit. But I have to agree with Todd that I would like to see this, whether you cut it out and stuck it on there or however you had to do that, so I could actually see what it looks like and not have to imagine it.
Well, it's a matter of reading architectural drawings.
It's orthogonal. I can read it, and, okay. But visual. We're all visual people.
Give me a coloring book.
Any other comments on this? Anybody else have anything else? Well, I was pretty apprehensive. I was hoping that there was some way to produce an inside exit fire rating that went to an existing door. I went around and around, and I went down there twice, actually. I could get in, but the one that comes up into the middle of the building now, you'd have to build a great big hallway all the way out to the door.
Yeah.
That would even make it look worse inside, and I can't really go for that. But with that, all I'm asking from the owner, since he's here, that he'll use the greatest care and absolutely the best material you can to make it look like it's been there and not some kind of a new shiny door or some other thing that will make it stand out. I'm just going to ask you that. I'm sure you will, but if it doesn't, I'll be walking into your business and pounding on your door.
My intention with this entire project is to respect the architecture,
right?
And to maximize this building has been so many different homes to so many different types of businesses in the past, and I feel like my obligation is
one thing I did notice where the sign's going is a lot of that metal is buckled and in pretty rough shape, so hopefully you can keep that and push it back in somehow.
That's what we're gonna explore what the state is of that, just to make sure that when we put on a sign, we don't have to put it back on again.
Yeah. So if you so whatever you know that old anodized metal that's up there fits in well with the building. If there's a way when you attach your thing, you can because some of that is getting pretty wavy. But I didn't notice that. Anybody want to make a motion?
Do we know if there are any members of the public that want to speak to?
Well, nobody signed up. Anybody else want to speak to this? Apparently not. There is a Will Nathan. Is he here?
That's
you. That's yours. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just reading the thing. Remember, this is my first day as a chairman. I got to work on this. My first chairmanship. Okay. Anybody want to make a motion? If not, I will. Okay, I move to approve DRB 1856 as presented with assurances from the owner that it would be treated with as much care as possible. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So moved.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to number three, DRB application 1859. This is a residential historic district contributing property, number 692 at 805 Tombstone Canyon. And will you be doing a presentation on this, Joe?
Yeah.
Your name's on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm representing the city in this, and the point is that the house has been allowed to demolition by neglect, and we've been trying for 4.5 years with me, and with Bob, who was here prior to me. I know he worked on it probably another 3 years, trying to get something done with this, and we've got to the point where the city's just ready to tear it down. And it's an attractive nuisance. We'd like permission from the design review board to tear it down.
Okay, questions?
Could you be a little more specific about what the city has done to enforce the code regarding this building and what steps it's taken to have the owner secure it or stabilize it? Because that part's not clear to me from what's been provided.
Okay, mostly what the city has done is send notices to the owners on record telling them that they need, and at different times, that they need to get over and do something about the house or something's going to be done. It's been, the city, I always say, has been a paper tiger because they don't follow up on these things. But this one, we finally got something in the budget to do to put some teeth into what we're saying. And so we're asking to proceed forward with that. But what's happened in the past is that the owner's been notified that with a notice of violation, stating that there's going to be fines attached to the house and such, and that hasn't. We've got promises, but we haven't got action.
So have fines been levied since there's
not
been? They have
not.
Because
I cannot levy fines. That goes to our legal counsel. It has to go before the magistrate.
So if this is approved, then the city is going to condemn it and do the demolition themselves?
If the owners don't demolish it or do something appropriate with it, shall we say, then the city will come in and demolish it ourselves, yes.
When's the proposed demolition supposed to take place, depending on whatever the outcome is?
It's not scheduled.
Okay. So there's time for the owner to...
There is.
Good. That's good.
I'm concerned. I'm glad to hear the city has put some funds behind some enforcement. I'm not understanding how you go from noticing an owner who doesn't take action repeatedly, building slowly deteriorates, and I've been inside the structure to see that, at least what the interior of the structure looks like, which to me looks eminently salvageable. I'm not an architect, I'm not an engineer, but at least we have my own home and it was in pretty bad shape when I bought it, so it looks eminently salvageable. So what I'm not understanding is how the city's gone and made a leap of faith of, we've noticed you, but we've not taken action ourselves to fine you, the other progressive actions to take before then getting to a final, now we're going to recommend demolition. It seems like there's a big gap between, we've noticed you, you haven't taken action, but we've chosen not to take any other action in terms of what we could do and should do, levy fines, which usually creates leverage to motivate an owner to do something, and now we're just getting presented a demolition
request. It's somewhat of a political decision at this point, Michael.
Mm.
And so I'm here representing the city.
So I'm not throwing darts at you, but I'm just expressing my concern that this seems like an awfully big gap, and that the city has not done its due diligence.
I don't disagree with that, Michael.
To support now requesting a demolition. I could see if fines had been levied, either not paid or paid, and the building had continued to deteriorate, and it was in such a state of disrepair it could not be salvaged. But I don't see that it can't be salvaged, and I don't see why we want to, as a preservation board, and almost as a city in terms of the politics of this, be taken in a building that, when I did my research in the county archives today, dates back to the late 1800s. We don't have many structures like that left in Bisbee that can be salvaged and that represent part of the history of the city. So I'm just very concerned about the city's political decision about how to deal with this particular property.
And what that's worth. How many years have notices been sent?
I think it's pushing 8 years.
8 years? And
approximately.
And are the people aware of these? Have they contacted you? Talk to them on the phone?
We get more complaints about dilapidated houses, about this house. Mm-hmm. This house, since it's on Tombstone Canyon, we get at different times. Sometimes we get clusters. It's usually in clusters. But we've got as many as one a month.
Yes.
For a year.
Well, I think we're all familiar with this house and what's been going. I mean, I've heard about this house a lot too, even before I got involved in any of this. So.
If I may, I think I'd like to hear from people that signed up, and then we'll discuss it some more. If that's okay.
Chair, for a point of clarification, I understood that the owner of this property may be here to also speak to this. Is that correct?
I'm sitting right here.
Okay.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
I wasn't clear that that was the case. I think the
and Chairman Budge, I do have photographs. I was on site, so there are exterior photographs. Most people are familiar. But again, and I do have one slide. I heard from a couple of folks, and I did put their names up there to give you their opinion of whether they were in favor of demolition or in favor of preservation. So I don't know when you want to get through that, but I just want to make you aware. There are about 12 slides.
Right. Okay. First one on the list here is Deborah Young. Like to speak.
Here I am. Sorry, just no way to see him, Isabel.
Wherever you'd like.
So I live right directly across the street from this property. My background is in public health. So I have a subcontract with U.S. Housing and Urban Development. And what we do is we travel around the country and talk about healthy homes. So we try to help people have as healthy a house as possible. And my issue with this is that I do think that it's a public health hazard. So I'm concerned about this building as well as other buildings in town, because mostly, first of all, rats, skunks, and mice. So, I mean, I regularly see skunks go in and out of this house. The incidence of rabies in this county is at 15 now, which is higher than it's been in several years, and we're 9 months in. So there's a concern about rabies. There's a concern about standing water in this and in other dilapidated structures because of the incidence of mosquitoes, West Nile virus, and, you know, other diseases that are carried by mosquitoes. So I really think that it could be a health hazard. In an ideal world, I would like to see this, you know, house rehabbed. It's been 8 years and nothing's happened. So at some point, I think the city needs to make a decision on what to do. The other concern I have about is arson and or accidental fires. So we could see the fire in Star Canyon from our house. So if this house isn't secured, you know, I don't want kids who are, you know, might be playing in there to come in and start a fire, or someone trying to stay warm to start a fire. So for all of those reasons, I think that there needs to be action taken. And if we can't have action in a short period of time, and there hasn't been action in the past, then I think the house should be demolished, as well as looking at other dilapidated structures for public health and safety.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So you said if there's not action taken, I'm assuming you mean if appropriate action on the part of the property owner, securing it, so it's not a hazard to people squatting, to many of the health issues that you addressed that can be addressed by securing the property, preventing further deterioration because of the roof. Those would be appropriate actions that you would see, or others that you would think should be done.
Right.
What would the other actions be?
Rodents.
Control of rodents, so trapping of rodents, going around the property and making sure there's not, you know, big pools of standing water, I think would be important. We don't have so much in, you know, in this state, but in a lot of states, when you've got water-soaked wood, you have a problem with mold. So, you know, anybody going into that house, there's a lot, there could be, I've not been inside it, there could be a lot of, you know, mold spores and stuff that are a health hazard. Insects, of course, are always, you know, health hazards, cockroaches, you know, causing asthma. I haven't been inside. I'd like to look out my front door and, you know, see a beautiful house like I remember it was in the 80s. But,
okay.
I mean, that would be the ideal. But if that can't happen, then I think it needs to be torn down.
Thank you.
Doris, so you want to speak? That would be great.
I'm only here on by the request of the owner, and said you have his full support to tear the building down. He owns the building next door, and if you're looking at the slide, you can see the roof a couple of feet away, and the biggest fear is not only the vermin and the health hazard, but if there is a fire. Well, you know, knock on wood, there hasn't been so far, but that doesn't mean that there won't be one tomorrow. And we have had huge problems with mice, rats, skunks. We even had squirrels down there. I mean, they dig under 803 Tombstone Canyon. But the owner did say, please, if you have a chance, go and let them know that we are in full support. And I know the owners have been in contact with Joe, and, you know, have sent letters to the city. And when is something going to happen with this building?
Just one question. My name is David Tynes, by the way. I do own this property with my wife. Is the owner, is this the house on the right or on the left?
On the right. I mean, looking from the front on the right,
okay.
It's the corner house.
Okay, thank you. Donna Pulling, you're next.
Yes, I live up the street, a couple of blocks up from this house, and so I'm hoping that with the owner being here and understanding that the community is in support of securing the home and making it visually appealing rather than, I mean, even as it sits, people are always stopping and looking at this house as an architectural interest. So I think that even just mowing the lawn and securing the house with the doors and the windows and would be a substantial improvement. And I'm hoping that we can avoid having to demolish this historic property in order to just make it a safe, secure structure. I think that it has value in and of itself as a historic building. And I would just like to share to all of the Design Review Board members, what we have on the BSBY website is called an updated info packet from the National Historic Register. This is the survey that was taken for the historic overlay to all of the neighborhoods extending up from the commercial district all the way up the canyon and up the gulch. And it's a 36-page document, and the University of Arizona School of Architecture completed the survey in, I believe, 1989. So they went to every single home and every neighborhood, and they identified the significance of each of these neighborhoods and the architectural style of those neighborhoods. And I would just like to read the last sentence in the opening summary paragraph. It says, "The level of integrity found in Old BSBY makes it one of the premier historic communities in Arizona, virtually unsurpassed in its ability to convey the look and feel of mining towns that were once common a century ago. The BSBY Residential Historic District, with over 500 contributing buildings and structures, sustains for its residents and visitors the authentic look and feel of an early mining town of the West." It's a 36-page document that is so important for every Design Review Board member to read, understanding the structural, cultural distinction of these buildings. So I'm hoping that you, as the owner, will honor us by maintaining this property and
be
not
sure
having
give,
it
demolished. Be sure to give me a copy of that.
Demolished.
I'd like to meet you after this
Thank
meeting
you.
And talk about this, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, Frank.
It's me right here.
Is it Nobili?
Yabati.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking into investing with Dave here. I've known him for a bit, and I live in Sierra Vista. He lives in Tucson, so I'm closer. And I can provide the energy to do a lot of, like, a yard and some of the other stuff. I do have a question, though, in reference to the rodents. Has the animal control been notified? I mean, skunks are usually their issue.
We don't have an animal control officer.
County does.
We have one, but not at present. We have a vacancy at present.
And as far as squirrels, I mean, I run in BSBY, there's pretty much squirrels everywhere. The rats and mice, that's a different issue. But one thing to remember, though, howlings are also rats. And I get those in my front yard, too. So
I think the distinction, though, that some residents were making was not rodents or skunk or raccoon or whatever outside the building, but inside the building because the building's not secured.
Okay.
So that these animals are getting inside the building.
Yeah. Well,
like I understood correctly.
We can start cleaning some of that stuff out, and I noticed somebody's throwing mattresses and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And based on how that's done, I'd say it's probably one of the neighbors, not on your side, but I was checking out the house the other day, and I ended up getting locked out.
Not on my side.
The street or the driveway, which belongs to both houses. And if you look at it now, somebody's got a lock on both sides, so unless you belong to that one house, you can't get into the residence.
Mm-hmm.
So which for that will be a handicap in doing any work I plan on doing, but I do need to park in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So
the neighbor who came out with Mr. Butch, the neighbor that rents next door to the left of the house, I had spoken with that owner, I don't know if that owner's here or not, but had said that owner conveyed that they had bought that street right of way, which had at one point been a public street or a partial street off of Tombstone, and that they had been approached by, they said the county, that seemed a little odd to me, I would have thought the city, but were approached about whether they wanted to purchase that street, did, which is why they then put the gates at the front of it to make it very clear that as far as they were concerned, they had bought that street access on the left side of this house.
Okay, my understanding, you can't buy driveways. And if you go farther down the street, you will notice pretty much all the houses built around that time or after all shared driveways.
I'm just sharing with you what the neighbor.
Well, he told me the same thing.
Okay, let me just kind of clear things up. If you have a question about right of way, the city would have that in their plot plan. It's nothing to do with the county. It could have been a city street. They might have abandoned it. We don't know that.
Well, but
they can find out for you and let you know.
Dave here, I believe, says he's almost positive he owns it. So
and that's exactly what we're here for.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm looking at investing in stuff, and I can provide some of the energy to get some of the stuff done there. And I am local. I also work here in Bisbee, so I do swing by there quite often. So.
Okay. Next, Kevin Morris.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Kind of a different question. So, you know, with all this great architecture and the fencing and the gate and gingerbread stuff and all that, so if it came to where this place was going to get demolished, I'm thinking about the repurposing of that stuff. What would happen with that stuff?
Well, it'd be up to whoever took it down. We can't clarify that. This has to go there, or that has to go there.
The contractor that would get the contract to demolish it would be the people you'd have to talk to about that.
Yeah.
You mean the people that tear it down are going to be able to build what they want to build on the property?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you saying that the people that tear it down are going to be able to repurpose it in any way they want?
David, no, we're talking about the materials that would come from the demolition.
If you like, just let the chair recognize. I need to let Kevin finish.
That was it. It was that simple.
Okay, thanks. David.
Well, number one, I'm going to not want to see this, of course, demolished. And I have somebody that's sitting here that's already spoken. We've already got a plan that we're working on. We're going to do something about it. And as far as repurposing it, the only purpose that house is going to have, in my opinion, and that's my total and complete reason for being here, and I've got a lot of circumstances in my life that have kept me from getting this done, and I can go through chapter and verse about how we leveled the yard so that the water would not stand, how we have our neighbors who put the gate up because the javelinas were running through there and I gave them permission to do it. How we tore down a tree because it was a hazard, because we want to preserve the sign when it used to be a massage parlor because it's still sitting there. I don't want to disturb any of that house that I don't have to, except there are some places that are going to need some extensive work and we'll be coming in with a plan on it. Okay, but as far as I see right there, and anybody that's been into the house, and some of you here that are professionals that know what's going on, have seen it. Some people have spoken that haven't been inside the house. The floor is in perfect condition. There's original fixtures, including light fixtures that are in there. That's one of the reasons my wife and I fell in love with it and bought it before it went on the market for full price, because we've planned on retiring here. Circumstances have made that impossible now. But I'm wanting to hold on to that house, and Frank and I have talked about it. This isn't something we're fixing up to flip. I get people that approach me all the time that see that beautiful fence. Hey, I was living in New Orleans when Katrina hit. That's the fleur-de-lis. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. Fleur-de-lis. I mean, that did it for us. I'm not going to let anybody tear that fence out. I've had offers for several $1,000s. I could have done a lot of stuff. I'm not going to demolish or do anything to damage the true historic value of that property.
Okay, how? If you don't mind me asking, how long have you owned it?
I think we bought that in, about 2008 or 9, and have had three correspondents with the city, written ones. I've talked to them on the phone numerous times, told them where we were, what we did, and that's part of it. One of the reasons why I have mowed the grass, although I probably will at this point, is because of all the beautiful poppies that are in that thing. You might have driven by and seen me sitting there trimming them and cutting them over the years and taking them home with me, because the house is sound, actually.
Okay, ma'am.
Sure.
But a question. What concerns me, though, and in respect to the neighbors around you, if I was a neighbor around there, the health issues, the lack of security of the structure. And I was able to go in just by pushing one of those mattresses from a window, broken glass, material around the structure as well as easy access into the structure, as well as I can only assume the kind of rodents and other things that were referenced. When I look at it, I was surprised yesterday when I went into it how sound the original interior structure was. There's an add-on at the back like there is to its mate to the right of it that is clearly decayed. The roof is pretty much gone, and that seems to have taken away much of structural integrity of the add-on structure. But the original four-room structure appears to be surprisingly intact for the condition of the roof. My concern as I listen to you is that you hear the urgency of needing to act quickly to secure the structure, stabilize it, address the complaints or concerns that neighbors have, so we can be a contributing building as it's been designated, but truly a contributing building. So I'm not sure I'm hearing your understanding of the urgency of this, and I want to make sure that that's partly what you're acknowledging, because if I were a neighbor, I'd be very frustrated as to how it's declined.
I would be too, and I've spent a lot of time inside that house and have not run into any vermin, haven't seen any skunks, probably would have smelled them. I'm not saying they don't get around on the property. They certainly don't get inside the house that I've ever seen. I look for scat and all that when I'm around, don't see any inside the house at all. I intentionally do not secure that house. I've only got a wire around the door because I don't want somebody breaking down a historical door because they're curious to look inside. You know, I don't have it insured at this point to the point where it probably should be, but I don't want to see the structure destroyed because of curiosity seekers. I hate to be that way, but I'm being pragmatic. I've been forced financially to be pragmatic. But to this point, now I have a partner and somebody that's got the financial moxie, and we've got the desire to do something about it.
Thank you. A couple questions. So I think everybody wants to know when are you going to start on this? What are the first steps you plan on taking? I went inside also. It is sound inside. The house is salvageable. I'm big into salvageable. If it can be fixed, you should fix it. When do you plan on starting to work on it?
Well, got to get a plan together, and first of all, if we have what we have one gentleman here, and look, and I know public meetings are where people can speak their mind. I don't have recriminations. I'm glad to hear from people that don't agree with me or don't like me or whatever. That I don't have a problem with that.
But when his concerns,
and I understand, but when I realize that right off the bat, this is a political decision when this should be an architectural decision. So one of the reasons why there's an application being filed is for a political decision on it, and I can understand people making complaints, but we've got one of the, as far as I know, it's the only Victorian house in the city. I don't want to see it go, especially on my watch, but I'd like to make sure if it's a political decision, let's make sure that the design board has the ultimate say-so.
Well, just to let you know, we're not a political body here. We are appointed by political people, but that's outside of that. I've had no contact.
I've had no contact from any
of the politicians. I don't think anybody else has.
But I know you guys wouldn't, but I'm saying that we're sitting here because we got a demolition thing that is political, and I understand that. This is politics. It's a local town. This is a nuisance property to people, and I can understand that because I might even feel the same way if I didn't know more about the property and been in it a lot, you know, where other people haven't been in it.
Well, the deal is that you say that you don't want to watch this house go away, but we've all been watching this house go away for years now.
Yeah, and for years before we got it. As a matter of fact, yes. That's one reason why we purchased it, because the people that had owned it before were from out of town, and it made some kind of comments to somebody that got back to me. They thought about burning it down and building something new on the property. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the additional motivations that made us make an offer on it immediately at full price.
So when you bought the house, it was already starting to have
absolutely
some problems.
It had been sitting there vacant for years.
Okay.
There had been a guy in there that was an artist that evidently was quite a character, and when he moved out, they never were able to re-rent it, and it sat vacant for 6 or 7 years before we bought it.
Part of our duty here is to take each building on its own.
Right.
And as I went in, my biggest fear, and the floors looked very sound in the two major rooms, but when I looked up, I could see daylight. And as soon as that happens, as soon as the water starts to infiltrate, you know, it's not going like this, it's going like that.
Right.
So, you know, to me, I'm willing to give it some time and give you a little bit of time, but we cannot let houses like this go into disrepair through neglect. And I think, political or not, whether you want to see that or not, it's part of our responsibility to try to keep the historic nature intact and to address these. And I think that's why it came before us, was in hopes that we'd get a lot of minds together here and see if we can't, you know, get a little more firm commitment and stuff to happen. That's my take on it. Other board members?
I think,
can I ask a question?
Just a minute.
I think and I'm kind of asking a question because this is like a new situation, because it's not like cut and dry about like yay or nay or this to me. So is this a situation that we could table and then come back to in a certain amount of time and see if there was something that maybe see some plans, maybe even see that there's something been done to try to secure it?
Absolutely.
The application submitted in front of us.
This application will be good for 1 year. We can table it, put it on the side, and we can bring it up at any time again. As chairman, I can bring it back up and put it back on for demolition. I think that's a good idea.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. So, but could we expect something sooner than a year?
No, I'm just saying, we could bring this up any time within a year.
Okay.
It may only be whatever board members want to come to me and ask, or the actually this was submitted by the city, but yeah, that would.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. The other thing, and this is just, I just want to throw this out, because I've been just, basically, the additions to the house are falling apart, just like Michael said, and the roof needs to be taken care of right away. I feel like if you could get up and deal with the roof and then maybe come back with some plans in a month or two to start talking about getting into the additions, the original structure seems to be fine to me. So that's what I'd like to see happen, and I hope that there's some more people here that would like to see that.
I like where you're going with this.
Yes.
But I think given the history, for whatever circumstances, and given the, I think, very legitimate concerns the neighbors have,
yes,
as well as being a resident and knowing the history of the city of Bisbee's uneven process of enforcement, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. I feel more comfortable if we moved in a direction where we maybe tabled this, but with some specific requirements before we would, or as a consequence, would then review this again, or review plans that would be submitted to us at the point that it's reasonable for them to be submitted. My concern is there's actions that need to be taken immediately to secure the roof, secure the property, so it doesn't deteriorate further, right? So neighborhood health concerns, and safety concerns are addressed. If I can easily go through a window, anyone can, to get into that building if they want to squat. So I think there need to be some minimum expectations set up if we're going to table this to a possible future date. So we have something to measure against. Okay. Maybe the city can inform us in terms of what's reasonable for us to expect in a turnaround time. But I think there'd be some basic actions that could be taken quickly that are relatively low in cost, that show good faith, where the neighbors, I would think, have been looking for good faith for a while,
yes,
right? That show good faith, something's really happening, and that, to me, would be more assuring, because unfortunately, as Mr. Ward has referenced, the city of Bisbee has not always been a reliable partner to ensure that code enforcement occurs. So I don't want to say, yeah, go ahead, we'll pretend everything else is working fine, if we know that historically it is not.
Yeah. Right. Just a minute. Okay. I need to address that. Because we as a board don't have... If we table it, it's tabled. We can't put a bunch of restrictions on the table.
But I can voluntarily
just let me finish. That's kind of Robert's Rules of Order. What we could do is we can say we're going to table this for 2 months, and we will expect a informed update from our building
progress
about what has done to secure the building and to keep it from deteriorating. And at that point, we put on our agenda to determine if we again let them work towards it or not. Mm-hmm. for us to set up a bunch of rules on a table, that wouldn't work within, I don't think that would be legal, actually.
Whatever works, within, so that the what yeah. role we can play okay, just, leverages forward movement, right. And if it needs to rely on the city updating us,
right.
So in an informed way they can tell us, here's where we're at, because they will know better working with the owner and partner
right.
what time frame it will take to get certain things accomplished, but it, at least it provides leverage and press where we have some authority, because unfortunately, you know, we cannot always rely on the city of Bisbee to perform in the way we'd like to see when it comes to.
But we don't have the authority either, so.
But we can. We can.
We can ask for
give
updates.
Them permission
yes, absolutely.
Right?
That's
to
what
do
I'm
a
saying.
Couple things, right? We
What's
can
that?
Give permission to do some things. Doesn't he need permission?
Not
to, do
to stabilize
some
it. No.
To
it?
No.
Not for the
so I guess my next, what I was going to ask is that we would get Joel back up to explain to us how the process with the city would work if we do table it, and how the city would get involved to make sure that things that they or how they would work with the applicant. To
David Tynes is my name, so
David.
It's going to have to work with. Just call me David.
All right, David.
Do you have a comment?
I mean, I want to put your feet to the fire and get some answers, or just at least get a time frame. You know, I think that it's reasonable. 2 months sounds reasonable. You say a plan, you know, I would hate to see this thing come back in front of us and nothing got done, and then we still have the same, you know, neighbors. I'm actually a neighbor of that house also, and I'm in full support of the... remodel of it, see the renovation of its cool house, it can be saved, and so I just kind of want to see where you're at on it, as far as, do you really plan on starting on this thing ASAP?
Well, yes, I do. In fact, Frank and I, before this notice ever came up, we were already discussing what we're going to do.
Okay,
so,
let me just kind of summarize if I could then.
Okay.
I think what we can do as a board is, my recommendation would be to put this on the table, and what I'll do is ask that we will have on our agenda in 2 months from now a complete update on this, and it will be a monthly update from that point forward until we decide whether to take this off the table. And so it will be a permanent fixture on the bottom of our agenda every month, and then I would like updates from either one of you two. Pictures would be great too. Future plans, just to let you know, because I've been in there also as and saw the back, the lean-to part. It's hardly even salvageable. But I want to demolish that
and have one or two for years.
So if you want to do that, then you need to make an application and come before us. And I think we would allow the back portion to be taken down. I would,
yes.
But we can discuss that when it comes before
okay.
us. But just to let you know, and if you're going to do something major with the roof, if you're going to change it in some way or anywhere, I mean, you can put plywood up on the windows and the doors and so on and secure it fine. That doesn't take a DRB permit, but to do something permanent to the roof, then that would be different than what was there. You would have to come before us to, you know, if you were to change design or to do something different that way, or to do anything on the outside, like take it down or remove the porch and do something drastically different. It would take one simple application to us and tell us what's going on.
So how does people feel on that? So I'm just wondering, Chair, given that we're wanting to incentivize productive action to occur,
mm-hmm.
even though it was the city of Bisbee that initiated this demolition application, could we, as an other possibility, agree to approve demolishing that add-on structure in the back?
Well, the problem is that's not before us right now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't in the application and it hasn't been noticed, so we can't really approve it at this point.
Ken, I have a question. Are you proposing that in 2 months' time you'll see a plan, or in 2 months' time you'll actually see
progress?
I can look across the road and actually see something.
Immediately it needs to be secured. That's number one. It's in our zoning code, right?
Right.
And that's what I'm going to ask our building inspector to do.
Secure
means nobody can get inside. It keeps people out.
Including the rain.
Well, yes, and part of the security
well, the
is that it doesn't deteriorate further from neglect. That's part of the security of it, okay?
So in 2 months' time, it'll be status quo, and then...
Well, we're going to get an update, and if it's not, then this comes back before us by the city, and we can start going on it from that point. That's the leverage we have. We have the leverage to tear it down, or give permission to tear it down. That's the leverage I have. And I think the owner knows we're serious about it, and by having it remain in front of us after 2 months and then every month after that, if we're not satisfied, I can bring it up at any one of the meetings, and we can readdress it. So that's the best plan I can, to come to some sort of compromise here where we can actually possibly save the house and also meet the complaints of the neighbors of eliminating some fire damage and danger and the rest of it.
Chair, but is there a reason we couldn't ask as of next month for an update? Even though that would make be very limited, it would at least give us some indication of some forward momentum.
I understand
there's things that will take more time that need review with the city, but at least we have something in next month's meeting to go by to see something's happened. I could go out there tomorrow and mow the lawn as an example.
Yeah.
That's concrete, it's real, it's something at least we know had occurred, or a window has been secured.
Well, I misspoke. I want it on our agenda every month from here on out.
Okay.
And what I really want to see is major action within 2 months, which would mean that you would have a month to come before us to say, I want to tear down the back. This will give you a month to look at the whole thing, decide what are we going to have to do as far as any external. I mean, you can still secure it within a week, but if you're going to change the outside or something, then it takes a month to come back to us.
Right.
So then, but yeah, I want this as a ongoing item at the bottom of our agenda every month, and so we can at that point address and updates.
Can I ask my question? Please?
Sure, now. Go ahead.
You keep mentioning like the outside has to be, you know, through you guys. But inside then, we can do whatever?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's pretty much one of the concerns I have to restore the inside. Granted, so a lot of the stuff is there, but like the kitchen needs to be, and finding like an original style kitchen, a lot of other stuff would be extremely pricey.
Right. No.
I would like to get as close as I can, but...
No, any exterior structural changes to the outside have to come before us. That includes porches, roofs, any lean-tos, additions.
Well, isn't part of the Victorian style, so why does that need...
I'm talking about the two little sheds that come off the back that are really deteriorated bad. If you wanted to rebuild those or to do something different...
But they're not part of the original, so why would we have to...
Because it is the original now. In other words, we go from this point, not what it was built when it was first built. That's how the city's a living thing, and it's stuff people. My house was built in 1907, but the addition was put on 1917. I mean, that's just the way.
As far as the rodents go, certain ones I can take care of. Skunks, that's getting a little out of my. I think you want me to do something where I can be distance enough away to take care of them.
The thing of it is, you can get. I'm hoping,
I can get traps.
Well, you board it up and they can't get in there.
Well, up underneath the house and some other stuff there, and I mean, I can get
some hard traps.
They're coming from underneath.
Yeah. They love to live under houses, and
I've been inside and looked underneath and stuff, and that's going to take, some of the wood's salvageable and some isn't. So it's going to have to take a little more time to pull off what needs to be, and you can also measure and cut and do everything else, and plus that's what for you guys to...
We're more concerned with the roof and stuff like that. Yeah, not necessarily what's going on.
If the roof's on and you secured it so people can't get inside and start a fire or something else, that's the first major thing.
Well, the roof's going to be a major construction thing because, like you said, you can see that porch patio or porch down. So like that support beam needs to be replaced, and a lot of the wood upstairs needs to be replaced.
Right.
And I've been inside the house, took numerous pictures of it, so I kind of have an idea what's going on inside. Main thing would be to take care of that and the roof and then go from there, but the yard would be... something that's easiest to do first.
Right. And we'll have Paul, he can give you an email of this.
I appreciate it.
And then that will clarify whatever questions you have about what we're expecting.
Okay.
All right.
I got another question.
Okay, we got one more.
A little hypothetical here. So, with the way the laws are right now, someone could go around, buy up all the historical buildings in Old Bisbee, and then ignore them until they start to fall down, the city threatens to demolish them,
and the owner does nothing, and then the entire historic district gets demolished. Shouldn't there be a law in place that a historic building can never be torn down?
That's what that's what's in front of us, is that any building that can be torn down has to come before us, and we have to balance everything.
But shouldn't it just be denied from...
No, you can't do that, because maybe some buildings aren't salvageable.
But shouldn't it not get to the point
that's
where...
what we're trying to get the city council and stuff to work on. That's okay. The whole, and that's what, that's the issue.
Okay. That's why some of our MAFB commissioners are voicing concern about, it seems the process with the city was A, B, Z.
Yeah.
We're going, what happened to B, C, D,
yeah, what happened to the fines,
right,
suing the owner?
The big thing is, it's this, it's money. When I was on the council, I wanted to do it, but you get... They put $10,000, I believe, right, the last budget, to start taking on the first one or two of the 40 houses that are within all of Bisbee that are on the bad list, okay?
Oh, there's 40 of them.
Wasn't there about 40?
Yeah. Well, they've been getting knocked down.
A little bit. There's about 40 of them. But anyway, overall, it takes, because then you have to hire an attorney. They have to come in, do a condemnation. They have to go to Third District Court. They have to then... file. It costs $5,000 to $7,000 just to condemn it. Then you have to pay the person that owns it a reasonable amount for the city to take ownership of it.
Okay, so but you are saying hypothetically, someone could go around, buy up.
Anything's hypothetical. I don't address hypothetical here.
Well,
so.
I take a bundle
okay.
of.
Okay, we're not going to help. This is we're not going to just speak on freely on this.
Right.
I think what we've done is done a good discussion. You all feel good, council, or
definitely.
Okay. But who wants to make the motion?
I do have
one last. Okay, one last thing.
So I'm listening to you talk, and okay. I really like everybody's idea on the board, including the people in this audience. What I'd like to say is, I've only dealt with really top-notch people in the city over the last few years. Hey, nobody's been trying to kill me or anything. What I've got in my mind is the kind of agreement that we're working out here is I can talk to Paul, Mr. Ward, make sure that we're on the right wavelength so when we come in here the next time, they've already seen what we're up to. They're communicating with you. I don't want to get on the agenda and sit through and re-explain this. I'd be glad to. I'm good at talking, but I'd rather just work with the city, find out exactly what's the best
exactly
way to proceed.
I've
got a good contractor here that's got a lot of experience, and then okay. get all this kind of worked out so that it's sort of on the back burner of the agenda, but if we can have photographs, talk to some of the people that are residents. By the way, anybody that's here that wants to speak to me and give me their name and phone number, I'd be glad to talk to them at any time after this meeting.
Okay, that's
okay.
exactly what we want. And,
okay.
and but we have, I like the carrot and the stick, okay?
Okay?
The carrot is we're gonna give you this chance. The stick is it's gonna be on my agenda, and if it doesn't happen, it's coming, okay?
That's good.
All right.
That's good.
That's how kind of how I like it.
But when we get, I'm working with the people that are with the city that give me the best guidance, as long as we're working with
that's
them
right.
and talking to board members, listening to what you're saying. If I got an objection, I'll raise it.
Okay.
But I don't think I'm gonna have any objections
okay.
because everybody wants to save this property, most of all myself.
Okay. So I'm just gonna do really a quick, since I kind of, I'm going to make a motion for DRB 18-59 that this be tabled, that we ask that this goes on our agenda every month here on out, and I'm requesting from city staff an update monthly at our next meeting on this, because it'll be on our agenda. We can talk about it, and at that point, we can move in direction of how the board feels. Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have application. Thanks for the pictures. But we all have this. We all went up and saw them. So
no problem.
That's great. But we want some new ones because we know some new stuff's going to happen.
You do the jewel of the building.
Oh, it's well.
It's a rough diamond, but it definitely is a diamond.
It's going to make it okay.
Okay, DRB application. Did I say 1859 on that one?
Yeah,
no, 1860 is the next one.
No, you're sitting. Okay. I'm still working on this. The RV application 1860. This is contributing property number 21 on 221 Brewery Avenue. We have the application right here. And the owner?
One of them.
Okay, great. Would you just, I know you got quite a few things here, but just give us an overview as best you can.
Sure.
Give me your name, too.
I'm Sean, by the way.
Full name for the...
Sean DeKramer.
Thank you.
Really, what we want to do is pretty minor. What we're trying to do is convert it into a home. It's never gone from the full conversion from a garage to a home. So right now, we're faced with several factors. Looking at it, one, we have no exterior lights. The lights that we've chosen, one we found in the demolition on the inside and the walls that are original to the garage, I can imagine. So we went out and we found some additional lighting that matches what we found in the garage originally. Those pictures are in the package. The other thing that we want to do on the exterior of the home is the doors. Right now we have about 2-inch gaps on some sides of the door on the bottom. So inside we have centipedes, scorpions, water, and just about everything that you could imagine. So we just want to seal it up. We want to do the French doors, match the windows upstairs, paint them the same color. We're trying to blend it in and make it look as original as possible, and still kind of make the feel of a home. That would replace the double doors, and then we're going to do a single door on the entry, and on the rear door it would be exactly the same. All aluminum, and we can paint them. We're trying to avoid a lot of wood because the building does have termites. The building next to us that's almost attached, there's about a 3-inch gap, has termites. When we bought the home, we had it inspected. They did a termite treatment, so now we're trying to move in the avenue and direction of getting away from as much wood as possible. The other thing we'd like to do is put in a gate right there on the sidewalk. We'd like to enclose our small little back area. It's open to anything and everything at this point. I included some specs of what we would like to do, and we want to go for that look of the kind of like the caged rock look, where you actually have a metal cage fabricated and then you fill it with rocks. That's what we want to do on the exterior of the home. Similar to that style, as close as we can come. Obviously, I got to have it manufactured and sent down here. So, you know, it'll be...
Is that for the whole backyard?
Or yeah, just for the whole backyard.
There's a wood fence back there now from their neighbor. And you
See, that's not our property. There's, if you look at the outline of the property, you'll see that... It's pretty crazy the way they've got it laid out.
Doesn't the neighboring property go into the back like a triangle or something?
Yeah,
like
it does.
That?
It's like a triangle, and then there's a wood fence, and that is the... So the wood fence that's up there on the...
It's the long...
Yeah, it's the long... And then there's nothing on that back section right there where he's got his hand right... The icon... Or the mouse right now.
Right.
So the section that we want to enclose is just to the right of that, right at our property line, wrap it around, bring it down to the edge of the house, and put a gate right there so you can enter to the back.
And then there'd be a gate in the back too?
No, just a gate that would go into our...
The front.
Just the front gate, yeah.
So
up
you're,
the sidewalk.
Yeah, up the sidewalk.
So you're talking of a gate, not in the front of the house, but...
Yeah,
in the back.
Yeah, in the back. If you're standing at the front of the property,
right.
There's a sidewalk that runs on the east side of the garage, and it goes straight up to the back where our small little piece of property is, and that's where we want to put the gate.
So this is this your property back here?
No, that is not our property.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you're only talking about it. About an area just off of this?
Yeah, just a little, basically an L.
Okay. Because, see, we have this, you can't go over a 4-foot fence on anything that faces towards the front because it blocks the views of things. So that's why I'm trying to determine where it was. And if it was going to tie into the 6-foot fence, we allow 6-foot fence in the back. Side yards were a little touchy because, again, there's a big parking lot on the side of you, and what we want to try to do is keep view corridors open so we can see.
Right.
But you're just doing, basically, it looks like a 15 by...
Yeah, maybe 10 by 10, if that. It's 10. Not a huge...
Is your wall going to run along this sidewalk?
No, that's going to remain open.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing anything to that at all.
You just want to be able to gain access here and there.
Exactly, and I have a dog, so, you know, kind of like...
So these steps are not yours either?
You know, I believe they are.
Oh.
Because they are the whole... If you look at the stakes where the property is staked out on the lines, there's, because the owner behind us that's going to build,
Dan,
he's got it staked out, and the property stakes run right where the two pieces of land directly above, just before that triangle, there's a stake right there,
and
it runs straight down with that retaining wall that's there right now, where there was originally posts.
Okay.
So have you talked to Dan to try to figure that out?
Yeah, Dan and I have talked. We're fine. We talked about materials, and we talked about what to do, and we're trying to kind of blend it. And
this small talk, I just sold that lot to Dan like 5 months ago.
Did you?
Yeah. So I talked to Dan, and he said he spoke with you about it.
Yeah. So.
Any questions from people here?
So how high is this rock?
You know, we don't need it very high because we have, I don't know how many feet it is. I'd say there's probably about 4 foot of, you can't even recall it a retaining wall that's there. It's just someone's taken some rocks. That's a retaining wall, and that's on the east side, and that we're not going to do anything with. We wanted to just use the original posts that were there to secure the metal basket style and then fill it with rock. It's on the back side of the property that someone has just taken some rocks and some concrete and kind of like dammed up the area right there. So up top, we just want to put like maybe, you know, a couple feet just to kind of blend it all the way in and down and around.
So it wouldn't even appear to be a fence.
Really. No, it really wouldn't. Not from the back side.
Because I was kind of like, thinking this 6 foot high rock thing that was, and I thought it was going to go in the front or something.
No.
And you weren't around when I went over there, so I didn't get a chance to. So
yeah, I work in Phoenix during the week. So.
Like you guys put, this is a great pack, except for it's pretty unclear so where you're putting it.
Sorry about that.
No. That's I went there and walked around, but I wasn't sure where the property lines were. I mean, I have a little heartburn with this, because this is not a common thing we have. Now, granted, we have it in walls.
Right.
The round town, because it's the only thing that's now we can do with limited space that we have.
Right.
This is kind of modern-looking, industrial-looking, and it would fit if it's a garage, but since you're turning it into a home, I don't know how well that would fit with you as far as trying to make an industrial-looking fence in the back versus... it is not on our approved DRB list.
Okay.
As you, I don't know if you saw that.
No, I mean approved. Okay.
You know, we have approved.
Send you that
okay.
We have approved fences in this.
But on the other hand, what's a 2 foot?
Well,
fence
if 2 foot, his dog's going to go right over. So you're talking.
Well, no, he's saying that it goes down. So there's 4 feet, and then he's going to put 2 feet of that rock stuff up there.
Are you only saying this is going to be 2 feet tall?
Yeah. And then on the one side.
Okay, I thought.
Yeah, on the back side. And then on the other side, it would have to be at least 4 feet.
Right, because it goes down.
Because it comes down. So that way.
So it would be taller. Because I was like, well, if it's only 2 feet.
On the mimosa side, you would see that rock wall mainly. That's the one.
Right.
Are you completely against some kind of fence?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I will do what you guys want. We just want to get that area kind of secured and
right. Let me just suggest this to you. I mean, the problem with me approving this, and it's in a very poignant place everybody sees. I go to Mimosa and they'll see it right there.
Okay.
Then everybody's going to be coming before us and someone else is going to want to right on someplace Main Street or something. If you can come up with an alternative that is in this, you really don't need to come before the DRB for a fence. It can be approved by the administration.
Okay.
Okay. when it's something like this, which is way out of the, not in this book, okay. then you have, then you would need to look at it, see if you can maybe, it's going to be a lot more cost effective for you to re-put posts on this wall and do it that way versus this thing.
But, okay, but, that's fine. Hey, I'm but, all good. But, I'm,
and as far as gates, and as far as gates, we have every gate in the world, everything from flying people. To,
right.
I've so seen, it, so that's fine. I don't. Okay. Gates are kind of cool. Whatever in my mind.
All right.
I don't want to speak for everybody.
Don't wear red matches.
That's my and then you didn't mention the three windows you're going to add on yeah, the one side by the electrical
box. So we want to do the four windows. I understand that we're trying to maintain, you know, the structural history behind the buildings and so on and so forth. The problem we face right now, and I know that, you know, once we get real doors in there, it's going to change significantly. But right now, you've got one window downstairs, yeah. and it's in the rear of the home, and you get in there, and it's like,
dark.
It's dark and kind of like, so we want to put, we would like to put four windows right there, so that that way you're getting, you've got an eastern view, you got some sunlight coming in, it doesn't look like a dungeon.
But what's the configuration? When I look at this, I kind of go a narrow, then somewhat wide.
Please forgive me.
Then somewhat narrow. No, they're all the same.
This was a last minute add-on. And I was sitting at my desk at work, just kind of hand-drawing it real fast. They would be the same size. They're going to be 18 inches in width and 4 foot tall.
Based on this Alpine?
That's correct, yes.
Are they going to be ganged together?
No, there'll be a space in between because we've got the original structure of the building to deal with. And I've already measured it out to where we can comfortably fit 18 inch in width without having to do anything with the building.
Okay. What I'd like, to be honest, is to see your two upstairs windows.
Uh-huh.
If you can match that same type of design so that you have that
that's what we're going for.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. Right. We're trying to make it look exactly as original as possible without...
Right. And it would be set back in a ways...
Yes.
Not just plastered on the front.
No, they're going to be set back a little bit.
Okay, great.
That's trimmed out.
Okay, well, and I have one last thing.
And then, yeah, I got one more thing.
Yeah, the planter in the front.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do. We're kind of in a dilemma. I've talked to a lot of the neighbors, and I guess the flooding is pretty bad through there, and I guess it comes gushing down through there and kind of, you know, and then pours right into our house. You know, it's something that you take on when you buy a property. We're trying to find a solution. I'm open to suggestions. This was the best thing that I could possibly think of that would be not so evasive.
When I saw it, my question is, where's your front property?
That's, we don't, like...
What?
That's exactly right.
Okay, because I actually hit up our public works director mm-hmm. and said, if you put those French doors that open out, or open
they're
in...
They're going to open
in. Yeah, but you're still going to need like a 3 foot walk, some sort of a walkway.
There. Right.
And then you're going to put this planter... I've dealt with this when I was on the city council. You start putting stuff really low and right out on the street, and you get a car coming around at night, and whack, they don't even see it. And they'll take out the corner of it, and you'll be liable. They'll take the front wheel out. So I would be very, very, first you need to clear with the city, because now you're working, talking about right-of-ways in there, and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
I think a curb would make a lot more sense to me. Okay. Just to pour a single curb.
Just a single curb.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
That a car could.
Right. Not I'm okay be, with the curb.
Big solid concrete planter could be a real problem.
Okay.
But you need to clear it with the
You're
the
city. Need a survey, Sean.
Okay.
Yeah, or like a sidewalk maybe. Like kind of a sidewalk, but enough.
Yeah, you just something high enough to keep the water from. You know,
could we, I mean, you know, if the city approves it, can we do a sidewalk? Because I'm fine with that.
You could have a curb and then a sidewalk. Yeah, I mean, that's another
problem. Well, a lot of times the city will work with you if it's something that, if it's on their property and it makes sense, then people are still can get around. Or
whatever. And it's in keeping with much of what you see going up Brewery Gulch are very high sidewalks next to the gulch because of the regular flooding that comes through there.
Because right now you have a ramp coming down, and if you took that ramp away and poured a sidewalk, then you would have a curb outside.
Right, and if you go back to the picture of the front of the house, you're going to notice...
So.
you're going to notice, so the sidewalk that runs on the eastern side of the house,
right.
That runs up, keep going, right there, that there's a giant drop-off at the end of that sidewalk right there.
Right.
So, something needs to be done there. I don't know, like I said, I don't, you know, I mean, we don't know where property lines are running. We don't know if our front door is the property line.
Okay, so what I'm going to suggest is you get with the city.
Okay.
You know, they'll probably require a survey so you know exactly where your property line is and work with them.
Okay.
And you know, maybe you can get a sidewalk going and have it come over and then a couple of steps and pour out straight
right,
to that something.
I'll pay for
it. But we're I'm not, just, no, you're the apt to do it. But anyway, so that's,
Do you have real high ceilings in there?
Yes, downstairs, 11 and a half feet.
So you might even be able to, like, raise your doors and pour something in there, and then that'd really get you out of the
floor. Well, so here's what's crazy is when you go inside, so the whole thing ramps up all the way inside, and then it comes level inside the house. So when I have the doors done, we're already going to be pouring a little bit of concrete in the jams to raise it up. So you're going to see probably about 2 inches pour it on the front side of the home, and then it's going to level. It'll level out with the inside.
But well, I'm just saying, like, there is a lot of water that comes down the gulch, so you might want to raise your doors if you can. Because I think when I talked to you, when I looked in there, it looked like there's a lot of room. And if you can raise them up and then pour a thing in the, you know, a high sidewalk in the front, then that'll channel a lot of water.
My problem is those walls are solid concrete.
Yeah, it takes a big saw.
Hammer drill.
Anyway, can be done. Let's deal with what we can, if that's okay. Anybody else? What do you got?
Good.
Something? I'm done making. You guys got to make a motion now. Jeez.
You're the wise one.
No.
Perkin Bush.
No.
Well, I'd be glad to make a motion, but we've wandered a bit, so I'm trying to make sure I remember what we've.
Well, we're approving
the windows on.
Windows, but
the lights.
And the doors.
Doors.
And the doors.
Not the planner, right?
Yeah.
And recommending that the applicant work with the city and a surveyor to determine what kind of sidewalk curb structure can be put in front to address. There are concerns about water access, as well as based on where they can actually, what's their property versus city property.
And look at alternatives to a fence that...
Sure.
That the windows are similar to the ones up on the top.
Yeah, the four
Yes.
He acknowledged that. He said, yes, that's what we're trying to do. So instead of the windows are going to match, those windows will match to the best of their ability, the existing windows.
So
we're approving the lights.
Okay. I mentioned the lights.
Yep.
So I'm making a motion that we approve application 1860 with approving the lighting as proposed. Windows on the, is that the eastern side?
Correct.
On the eastern side to match as closely as possible the single hung windows above.
Correct.
That you come up with a fence design that will be reviewed by the city building inspector.
Okay.
That falls within our approved designs for fencing.
Okay.
And that you also work with the surveyor and the city of Bisbee to come up with some curb sidewalk solution in the front to address the water concerns and drive access concerns of that part of Brewery Gulch. And the doors. Thank you. We approve the doors that you proposed.
Thank
Is
you.
That it? Have I got it?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All right. We have a really long, beautiful, another motion. And a second. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All right.
Thank you.
We have staff comments.
It was a pleasure meeting you all.
You bet. Thanks.
Hey, have a good one.
All right.
We want to help you all we can, really. staff comments. Any staff comments?
Yeah, I will mention, and again, we have discovered that for the November 7th meeting, that'd be the next meeting, the county planning staff, that's our annual planning conference, will be gone. Joe has another engagement, I found out, because I was thinking, I'm gone, Joe can fill in. Well, Joe's going to be gone. I think we're down to the clerks trying to cover the meeting, so I just wanted to put that out there now. So, but I know that you had said we want a report, but unfortunately, this probably wouldn't happen that often, but it will happen in November, where we're not going to have any. Joe won't be available, and none of the county planners will be available.
Could you give us a quick little written report, like the week before, agenda comes in?
I was thinking, well, we can send out the packet, and we can do a written staff update. I was thinking we could certainly do that. But again, you know, the clerks, I would feel bad if they were being pressed for some tough answers or something.
We could
do a written. I can get with Joe and say, Joe, let's do a narrative for the DRB, because we just won't be present.
Sure, that'll be fine for the first month.
Okay,
that just tells what's happening. If the guy's working on it, if he's planning on it, or you know, you got something wherever he went. Wherever he went.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I'll get with Joe to make sure we have something that we've written up for you, because that's we just won't be available.
And all right.
No administrative approvals to report either.
Great. Wow.
Thank you, Paul.
Anything, comments from any of the board members for a future agenda?
I've got one, which is just a follow-up on what we expressed to Mr. Ward as the representative of the city, although we have our liaison from the city council here as well. I just, again, want to either express concern or put or make or agendize in a not-too-distant meeting reviewing the city's process for dealing with demolitions in the historic district. Because what this highlighted to me, particularly with Mr. Ward's comments, was that this didn't seem to be a reasoned, particularly well-reasoned approach to dealing with this. Maybe it was a strategy, if I want to cut him a little slack, maybe it was a useful strategy, but it's not going to be a useful strategy in every case. And so I would like us to hear, maybe to hear from the city manager, someone else who can speak to what the thinking is or the strategy is, so we can know that we're working as a partner with the city of Bisbee, not in opposition to the city of Bisbee.
I can speak to the city manager about that.
And I just assume put that on for next month, but the following when we have the planner and Joe back.
Sure, that sounds good.
That we would have a more informative way of doing.
So
if you can think 2 months ahead, you know, not next month, but the following month, to also a report on some of that would be good.
What happened to
anything else from the board?
He pulled it.
Oh, yeah.
Any other comments?
No. Well, I guess, do we need to explain the 16 clause?
Yeah, what does it mean for something to be pulled?
It wasn't pulled, it was tabled, which means it might come back next month. Depends if he puts it back to be on the agenda again.
Okay, can I ask a general question?
Why don't you wait until then you can ask us afterwards. And the time to speak publicly has kind of gone by, but I'll be glad to answer anything afterwards. I make motion that we adjourn.
I motion we adjourn.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
What happened to the awning that I wanted to put up with on my mobile home in Sierra Vista? I was notified the meeting was tonight.
Yeah. In Sierra Vista? This is all Bisbee.
Was that board? Were you going to Board of Adjustment?
They told me to meet over in this building.
Well, man, that was actually up in another part of this building, because we got pushed into this room, and that meeting got killed. You weren't notified. Was it Peter Gardner that you were?
Yes.
Darn, I apologize for that, but that meeting got moved up to our office, so I didn't realize you were here for that. I would have certainly directed you up there.
Sorry.
They got moved up to our conference room, planning and zoning.
Ooh. But we thank you for your call on the city.
Wow, you got a whole bunch of
interesting.
Yeah, you may never buy a house here again.
General question.
Sure.
If someone comes to you and they want to demolish,
let me stop this real quick.